Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Awesome. Well, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. And it's such an awesome time of year. Christmas is, Jesus is the main event. We've been in a series called Majesty, which is all about Jesus being the main event. That he is sovereign. That it, relationship and everything with Jesus is what it's all about. You were created to be in relationship with God, which that thought might be bananas to you. That might seem crazy to you, that you as a human being on this planet have a way to have a relationship, a personal dialogue relationship, not just on Sunday, but Monday all the way through the week, relationship with the creator of the universe. That's insane. I think we forget that. I think many people in church take that for granted, and people that aren't normally used to church might think that that's weird, understandably, but the truth is that Jesus loves you, that he wants a relationship with you, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life, and it is beyond you. And I don't know how you feel about this last year, and I don't know how you feel about going into 2019, but we're going to dive into the Christmas story, in particular Mary's world, and we're going to place ourselves in that story and relate to it, as in sometimes life doesn't work out as you might think it works out, even though God is in it. I love Pastor Greg's offering message that he's Emmanuel with us. But just because God is with you doesn't mean that life doesn't get confusing. Doesn't mean that things could get difficult. Doesn't mean that you're going to hit some battle, a trial, or something in your world where you might feel like your soul is displaced, where your soul is confused. And I want to talk to somebody here today who feels like maybe their soul has been beaten around this year. How's your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions? Your soul is the dashboard. Your spirit is the engine. Your soul will show you and reveal to you and is affected by life circumstances, but your soul isn't the driving force to affect life circumstances. You shouldn't be driven by your emotions. But you might be battered and you might be thrown around a bit in the last year when you got a doctor's report and it didn't come back what you were thinking, or you were expecting something and it didn't come through, or you were promised something and someone let you down, or like a relational thing or like a finance thing, I don't know, whatever it is. And all the way through the year, man, we go through like just stuff. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You look like you've been through a lot." I know, I had to release the tension. But, and then, depending on whether you're like me or not, but if you like me, sometimes that when my soul goes through a whole bunch of stuff and I get a little bit disillusioned, a little bit confused. Sometimes I lose sleep. Sometimes I'm subject to anxiety and fear. And I'm like, man, I don't know, up from down. I don't know what's going on. Like, and then if I'm not careful, I could even question, is God even in this? And then I could take my confusion, my disillusionment, and I could throw it back at God. But I want to suggest to you here today that God is up to something. He has a plan. God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And it exists, you exist in the fabric of eternity. That you exist in this timeline of eternity, and that 2019, you ought to be believing big for 2019. You ought to be believing proud for 2019 that God is up to something. Awesome. So let's get into it. Luke chapter 2, you there? The Gospel of Luke, New Testament, Christmas story. Here we go, Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius, the governor of Syria, was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. To give you a little background here, Caesar Augustus was the greatest Roman ruler of the time. The Roman Empire was divided up in different quadrants by different Caesars, but he took it all. And when he took it all, he needed to kind of establish, well, okay, what is going on here? Who lives where? And where can I issue? Where can I? So it was a taxation thing. I need to know where people live so I can. So that's why Joseph and Mary went on the journey at this time in their lives. And it's interesting that at the peak of the Roman power is the time where a savior comes, born in a cave, in a very unlikely place, very overlooked, that in the height of amazing human power, divinity comes to the world, seemingly powerless. Crazy. And Hebrews, and we've been going through majesty, we've been going through the book of Hebrews, talking about the majesty series. Hebrews is basically a book that tells the Christmas story. That Jesus came to this world to take on the form of a human, and it was overlooked and missed by many people. But I love a Jesus that comes clothed in humanity because it's a Jesus that we can relate to. We're the only religion, Christianity is the only religion, every other religion do not want to serve or worship a God that was hung naked and ashamed. They think it's foolish that people would worship a God that came in a pitiful way. Christianity is the only religion that doesn't need a God all gemmed up, doesn't need a God all clothed in riches and born to a rich family, because it's all a part of God's story. If God came to a rich family in a way that we couldn't relate to, then you would always feel inferior in your worship to Him, and that's how we were never meant to be. And the trouble is many Christians in church do actually worship feeling inferior. Anyway, I'm not going there today. I've got a bit distracted. All right. Bit distracted. So, this was going on. High power, Jesus comes to this story in a very unique way. It's like this story's like only God. Like only God could make this up. I love that. I love that the God plan is so unique and so powerful that it just can't be ignored. It's amazing. That's why the cross is such a great symbol. You can't ignore it. Seriously? This instrument of death. Crazy. Okay, verse 4, keep going. Somebody say, preach on. Preach on. All right. So verse 4, so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. So he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. So it's interesting that this wasn't Mary's hometown, but Mary was getting dragged along by her man. All right, verse 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, which is like a feeding trough, because there was no guest room available to them at the inn. And there were shepherds out in fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. like the video. Cue Johnny putting the shepherd's staff on his head. That's such a good video. So they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all people." What we were singing about today. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. What sign? That you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Interesting. Suddenly, great company of heavenly hosts appeared to them with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God, the highest of heavens, and on earth, peace to those whom His favor rests." Peace to those whom His favor rests. When the angels had left them and had gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and check out this sign. Let's see the things that happened, which the Lord God told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and a baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him, concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard were amazed, and the shepherds said to them, at what the shepherd said to them, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things they heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I want to tell you, without going a step further, that God's word over your life is going to come to pass just as he said. God is powerful. He's large and in charge. And when you place your life in his hands, you place your future in his hands. And when he says it, it is coming to pass. God's word is not threatened by anything. Jesus came, fulfilled the word of God, was the word of God, and the word of God and the promises of God for your life and for your future are yes, and in him, amen. Amen. That ought to encourage you, because too many people believe lies. Too many people believe what is not true. And the devil will try and twist the future and the calling of God on your life so that you don't fulfill what God is asking you to do. But I want to tell you in point one that Jesus is up to something. Point one, remain faithful. God is up to something. Turn to the person next to you and say, God is up to something. God is up to something. It's crazy that God gave a gift to Mary. She got pregnant. God gave her a gift, and then everything went bad. Like, place yourself in the story. So she is comfortable, okay. I mean, there was a little issue that they weren't married, but she convinced Joseph to stick around through another angel showing up to him. So that's good. But then all of a sudden, government is changing. There's a new prime minister. His name is Caesar Augustus. Now she, pregnant, has to move. Now, if anyone's ever been around a pregnant lady, moving and pregnancy, bad timing. Bad timing. Pastor Jerry and Katie just did this. Pastor Katie's pregnant. Pastor Jerry made her move. He has bruises to prove it. No. But, you know, it's not ideal. And it's crazy that God would give you something and then your life wouldn't just all work out. Like, we're in a weird mindset if we think that all of a sudden God, just because God spoke to me, now everything's going to become easy. And what do we do when we do go to God, when we do worship him, when we do start to have a relationship with God, and everything actually gets worse? What do we do with that? Somebody say, God's up to something. God's up to something. So many times we actually complain about the things we used to pray for. Think about this. You're praying, you're single, you're praying, I want to get married. Jesus, bring me a spouse, bring me, like, I want to get married. And then you walk down there, now you're married. Don't look at Jess. Well, like, I pray for, I'm believing for a house, and then now you have a mortgage. So your prayers change. Like, you know, the furnace breaks down. It's always the stinking furnace. What's up with furnaces? Like, you know, if somebody's world crashes, what happened? It's probably the furnace broke down. But like, you pray for a business, then now you're running one. And it's interesting that we often complain about the thing that we would say, Jesus, if you could only just get me through, if you could only, and then he does, and then all of a sudden there's a, if there's only another thing. Like, you know, you pray for kids and believe for kids, and then you got kids. It's real. I love Nora and Kenzie. By choice. No. My kids are amazing. But I honestly have to actually stop myself sometimes for complaining about my kids. Because, like, you get home at the end of a day and, like, now this is going to sound silly because Jess is the one that takes the brunt of it. But come, you're just like, man, I'm exhausted. Like, these kids, like, they just don't stop now. Like, why won't they listen? How come they got so much energy? And it's like they never stop. And then you're like, hang on a second. I once prayed for these children. What am I doing right now? You know, but they test you all the time. Like, you know, it's cold the other day at school, and I'm picking up Kenzie, and I've got to take her outside. She's in a t-shirt, so what do? You get the coat. But then all of a sudden, I don't know what takes over my child, a demon probably, from Jess's side of the family. Her eyes roll to the back of her head. They're just white. Little red dots. I'm like, here, come on, take your coat. We're going outside. She just stops, looks at me and goes, no coat. I'm like, where did this come from? In the name of Jesus, I cast. No. And then, so people are walking in, picking up their kids from school. I don't want to, I'm like, I don't want to fight this battle. I'll just take Kenzie out. She can just be cold. Learn your own lesson, woman. And then, you know, but I can't do that because then I'm the abusive dad that doesn't put a coat on his daughter. I'm like, but you don't understand. Anyway. Life. But like, we're walking through it like all the time. And 2018, for most of us, likely didn't actually unfold exactly every T crossed, every I dotted, exactly what we expected. But that doesn't mean that God's not in it. All we're required to do is to take the next faithful step. I commend Mary that she kept going. She kept following Joseph. I don't know what's happening with this ruler. I don't know what's going on. Like I knock on the door of the inn and then all of a sudden the doors are closed. But then I still just, okay, whatever. We'll just go into a manger. But I imagine her just being like, what is going on? Like I've been given this gift from God and I can't even have a baby in a comfortable place. Where is God? What are you doing, God? You're the one that gave this to me. Open up a door for me. Literally. There's nobody home. There's nobody home. There's no one at the inn. So for anyone on podcast, I'm quoting the kids' video again. All right. So she's then in this cave, gives birth. Nothing divine has happened yet. And then this animal walks in. You know, like the sheep with like, in Australia we call them dingleberries. They're like just poo hanging off the back of the sheep walks in, starts licking Jesus. You know, like the goat, like. Then the goat comes in, starts gnawing on the swaddling cloth. It's like these just, you know, it's smelly. It's like a feeding trough. And, you know, what is going on? This is what I dreamed of 2018. This is what I expected. I'm in a God plan right now. I'm, you know, like, but I want to tell you, stay faithful. When finances go crazy, stay faithful. Amen. When relationships go crazy, stay faithful. Your crazy situation is not a threat to the Word of God. God's word is more powerful. His plan is more powerful. The Bible says is that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It's not up to us to bring him into question. It's up to us to stay faithful. Turn to the person next to you and say, God's up to something. He is. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if you feel challenged, hard-pressed, if your life doesn't make sense. But your story, point two, is a canvas for God's glory. God was setting Mary up. God was setting this story up. Your life is a canvas that can celebrate God. Celebrate Him. That the way He brings you out of something is like an amazing sign, marker, indication to how great he is. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7 it says this, we now have this light shining in our hearts, that's Jesus, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is actually from God, not of ourselves. It's crazy to me that, like, what Hebrews says, what the Bible says, and how amazing Jesus is, but still wants to use you. Still wants to get in your world, unfold his plan through your hands. Don't you find that remarkable? Don't you find that, like, yes, God could have made other plans to save the world, but he chose a virgin and her fiance. That you might feel overlooked and you might come into church and think, man, I've got to get it a little bit more together. I've got to be a bit more special than I currently feel I am. You might feel mundane right now, but I want to tell you that your life is a canvas for God. The question isn't, can he use it? The question is, will you let him? Will you let God in 2019 use your life to bring him glory? All you need to do is say yes. All you need to do is be willing. All you need to do is look to heaven and say, God, I feel like I'm not offering you much, but what I do have, you've got it all. I know my past. I know my background. Terrelgan, that's a small country town in Victoria in Australia. It's a coal mining town. I don't feel like I don't come from a pastor's family. I don't come from ministers. I don't come. It's not like, you know, I was set up for a win totally. Some things I feel like I've got a handle on. Many things I feel like I'm failing at any given time. And then the things that I used to have a handle on, I now feel like I'm failing at. And the things that I somehow worked out a little bit, I now got a handle on. And it just, the point is God uses this broken clay jar. But we had our Christmas volunteer appreciation party last Sunday night. And I looked out across the room and I was celebrating life after life after life that God chooses to use. I want my life to matter. I want my life to matter, not just for this. I want to have meaning, not just for now, but for eternity. I know that I'm living in a fleeting moment, in a breath, in the bookends of eternity, and that God is choosing to use me. What? And in 2019, he's choosing to use me. Are you kidding? And I looked out across the team and I just see a room full of very mundane, average people. With all the love that I have. But we are. Pastor Greg and Vanessa would be first to admit it. Pastor Jerry and Katie, first to admit it. My wife, first to admit it. Most of the time, you feel like a failure. Most of the time, you feel average. But then you get this sense from God that he's with you, that he's up to something, and that there is something going on. So what's going on, Sam? Well, he's setting up a sign. Maybe the door was closed at the inn because that was God's will. What do you mean? Well, the sign wasn't that they would see a savior. The sign is they would see a baby wrapped up and lying in a manger. This is a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7. And the shepherds, if they went, if the sign was to go find a baby, well, that would be everywhere. What's unique about that? What's crazy about that? What is remarkably unique about a baby? Nothing. It's just a baby. What if the baby was born in the inn? Well, that's where babies would likely get born if you were traveling. So if Mary didn't have enough spiritual sense to keep being faithful, even though doors were being closed in her face, she might have pried open the door of her understanding and missed out on creating the very sign that was prophesied in Isaiah. What am I saying? I'm saying take your trial as a compliment. I'm saying take your pain as the canvas that God is going to paint his promise on. I'm saying take your situation and, like James chapter 1 says, rejoice in various trials because you know that the outworking of this provides hope. I feel the Holy Spirit in the room right now moving around reminding people that your situation is not too big for God. Your pain is not too big for God. And God is getting ready to move and touch this mediocre life to touch this unique circumstance and show you that it was his plan all along. What am I saying? That God put me in this? No, but he can use everything that you're in. I'm not saying that God wants you to go through pain. I'm saying God can use any pain for his glory. So they come. Mary's sitting there. The last point is there is no greater satisfaction when the story of God unfolds in our life. Mary ponders these things, store these things up in her heart. I'll just get the band back. She's sitting back, and what didn't make sense to her walking through it, the dust, the goat gnawing on the swaddling cloth, the dirty sheep with the dingleberries, the crazy giraffe. Why is there a giraffe here? Like, all the, you know, the camels that are just slobbering everywhere, this feeding trough, a Roman ruler that feels like the entire climate of civilization is changing, the confusing time that she's trying to live her life in, the gift from God that feels like a curse. And in a moment where her story wasn't finished, it was just a moment. Jesus hadn't even breathed the day yet. He hadn't even, there was still trials to come. She still had to raise him. She still had to fight for her marriage. She still had to pay her bills, pay her taxes, the new taxes. She still had to live out this full life. But this moment, she sits back, and only somebody who's gone through the stuff, only somebody that knows how bad it really got, only the person that heard the word of God and then had every reason to doubt it, but then chose to be faithful, only that sits down and says, I'm going to store all this up in my heart. I'm not where you're calling me to yet. I haven't seen my son save the world yet, she thinks. But I'm seeing your faithfulness. When the shepherds came and they said, Mary, your baby is here in this manger. This is perfect. It unfolded exactly how God had planned it. He's using you. Her courage, her faith starts to enlarge on the inside of her heart. Her disillusioned soul that felt left of center, everything about her world that was upside down, the confusion of circumstances, all of a sudden, psh, made sense. God's in this. He's in my life. He's using my brokenness. He's using this devastation because I was smart enough to be willing enough to be used by God. Some people in this room are saying to themselves, man, I want to be used by God next year. I know life doesn't seem to make sense to me completely right now, but I got a sense that God's in it. I don't know how I got here, whether I was following his leading, whether I just made all my own dumb decisions, or whether it was a combination of just life, me, feeling attacked, other people, whatever. But where I'm at is where I'm at. And there's some people in this room that are just saying, God, okay, cool. Doesn't change the fact that you're in your heart, you're saying, I want to be used by God. Let's go. Let's go. Mary walking out of that moment, she would have been carrying her baby. There would have been rest in her soul. God's word confirmed on her life. And I hear the words that God spoke to Joshua saying, be strong and courageous, and I see
Mary standing up with strength and courage, saying, my future is bright. The devil is a liar, and my future is in God's hands. All glory and honor and praise to Jesus. I've been loving the book of Hebrews through this Majesty series, and I couldn't preach the last Sunday of this series without going back to Hebrews. It would feel wrong. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says this: for anybody who feels like their soul has been beaten around in the last season, we have this hope, Jesus, as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Jesus is your anchor. So what we're going to do right now is I want everybody to stand to their feet right across the room. The presence of God is here. The Holy Spirit is in this place. We got a few more moments in the service. I don't want you to be bothered about Christmas plans and everything going on. Don't let your soul walk out of a washing machine, come into church, and then just to go back straight into the washing machine of life. If you're someone here today and if you were talking to God, you would be honest. You'd be like, I don't like how my soul feels. I don't think I know up from down right now. My circumstances, man, this stuff's confusing. I don't have all the answers. I got more questions than answered. If I were to be honest with myself, I know I present the mask of intelligence, but I feel quite lost. And if that's you in this room, what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to take it to God and say, Jesus, will you be my anchor to my soul? The Bible says is that as we put our petitions to God, the peace of God comes and guards our heart and mind. And Jesus wants to anchor you, wants to tell you, give you reassurance that He is up to something. He is in the middle of your world. He is in the middle of your heart. And he's definitely the pioneer and author of your future. And if that's you, if you're like, yeah, I want to pray a prayer like that. I want to say, Jesus, anchor my soul. Jesus, anchor my soul. Jesus, anchor my soul. If that's you, before you go into the next year, before you go into the next season, this is the very thing that you needed. I want you to leave your seat, come to the front. We've got the campus pastors here, my wife, Jess. And I'm going to ask Chrissy also to just, they're going to pray with you. They might put their hand on your shoulder or their hand on your head, and they'll just pray and say, Jesus, I pray that you would anchor this soul. I pray that you would be the rock, the sure-footed rock, the foundation of this world. So if that's you, if you're like, man, I don't want to go into the next season without praying this prayer, I want you to come to the front. Just come forward. Leave your seat as we sing this song. And Jesus is really going to help you. Come on. Come on.